All right, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And we're going to look at this verse here, and then we're going to look at a couple of verses. So look at James chapter 4, and while you've got that, which is probably simple to find, then go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Find that one. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And so you've got James chapter 4. And then you've got Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And then I want you to look over at Proverbs chapter 16 also. Proverbs chapter 16 also. All right. And then we're going to look at two other places after that. But look at James chapter 4. And reading in verse number 6, the Bible says this, "But he giveth more grace." Grace here is not just grace in regards to salvation, but it's grace concerning your ability to live the Christian life. God giving you the ability and the grace it takes to live the Christian life. He said, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Then look over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and look at verse number 8. "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." And notice the proud in spirit. And then look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says here, "Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Look at chapter 29 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29. And look at verse number 23. "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." And then go over to one more place here. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. And we'll start verse number 1. Starting in verse number 1. Reading down to verse number 3. The Bible says in verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to assemble here in this building, at this place, with these people. We thank you, God, for the Word of God you've given us, and pray, God, you might bless the reading and preaching of it this morning. Pray, God, you might help me, Lord, to say those things that ought to be said in the way they should be said. And I pray, God, that might be received and be helpful, Lord, to each one here today. I pray, God, that you might bless those among us, bless those that couldn't be with us today, Lord, due to sickness. And ask, God, again, you might just continue to bless and meet with us this morning, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the Bible said there in our text, James 4, 6, "God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble." And what you see there are two contrasting attitudes, two opposing spirits, two different dispositions. What you see then in that verse is you see pride and you see humility. Ecclesiastes 7 we read there, we talked about it mentioned there the proud in spirit. And in Proverbs we read two verses there where it talked about the humble in spirit. So again, there's two opposing principles here, two opposing attitudes. One is those who are proud in spirit and those who are humble in spirit. Romans 12:3, Paul said, "I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That speaks of pride. Pride is an exalted, overrated opinion of self. But he says, "I want you to think soberly." That means I want you to think clearly. He said, "I want you to have a realistic view of yourself. We're not to think of ourselves above that which is written." And the Bible says simply that we're sinners. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms that every man at his best state is altogether vanity. So according to God's Word, we have no reason to be proud, but every reason to be humble before Him. And He says that God has dealt a measure of faith to every man there, to believe the Word of God and to submit to Him. Now, notice the use of the word "think" here. He says, don't think above that which is written of yourself, but think soberly. And the Bible says this in Proverbs. It says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So it starts in the heart, it starts in the mind, and then it reveals itself through attitudes and things of that nature. Well, we're talking this morning about pride and humility. Pride and humility. And what I'm going to preach about this morning, if you want a title, would be this: So You Think You're Something, Do You? Amen? You think you're something, do you? Well, we're going to talk about pride and humility this morning. We're going to give you 2 points this morning, and we're going to conclude it, Lord willing, this afternoon. But first of all, I want to look at the negative attitude of pride and humility. The negative attitude is pride. And he says in James 4:6, he said, God resisteth the proud. God resists proud folk. Now, what does the dictionary say about pride? Well, the definition, according to the dictionary, of pride is as follows. It's an inordinate self-esteem. It's unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often contempt for others. And it's also called rudeness to be proud. A proud person has a big head, and a proud person has a long nose to look down it on other people. Amen. That's what a proud person is like. And we're going to talk first of all about the negative attitude called pride. God resists the proud. So if you're a proud person, you know what? God is against you. God is not for proud people. He's not for those with prideful spirits and haughty attitudes. God's against pride. He says He resists the proud. And so you've got to humble yourself if you want God's blessing. Elsewise, God resists those who are proud. Now, what does the Bible say about pride? We saw what the dictionary said. What does the Bible itself say about pride? Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, that pride is something that is of the world. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that's in the world. And he mentions the pride of life. That is one of the things that pride is. It's of the world, so it's not of God. It's a worldly thing. It's a secular thing. It's also one of the marks of the last generation. You look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse number 1, he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he said there that in the last days, people are going to be haughty, high-minded, heady, and they're going to be proud, the Bible says. Proud. So pride is one of the marks of the last generation before Jesus Christ returns. It's also against God. The Bible said in Jeremiah 15, verse 29, about those who had pride, that they were proud against the Lord. So pride is against God, and if you're a proud person, a prideful person, you're on the wrong side of the fence when it comes to your relationship with God, because God resists the proud, and pride is against God. It's also called a sin in Proverbs 21 and verse 4. The Bible said a proud heart is sin in the Word of God. It's a sin to have a proud heart. It's also considered evil, the Bible says. Proverbs 8:13, the writer said, he said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy, he said, do I hate. So this man who feared God said, you know what? I hate pride and I hate arrogancy. And that's the attitude you ought to have towards it, even in yourself. Amen? It's considered evil. It's also classified as an abomination, something that God detests, something that God despises, something that makes God sick, if you will. It's classified as an abomination in Proverbs 16, verse 5. The Bible said there, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to God. He didn't distinguish between lost people and saved people. There are saved people who've got religious and spiritual pride that stands between them and God. And God says, you know what? He's against pride, and He's against those who are proud. And it is an abomination in the sight of God. Not only that, it's one of the causes of Christian persecution. When it comes to lost folks, they're proud, and because of their pride, whether it's spiritual pride or religious pride or worldly pride, whatever it might be, any kind of pride, he says that in the Bible, it's one of the causes of Christian persecution. Why is that? Well, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 69, he said this, he said, the proud have forged a lie against me. Several other verses talk about what the prideful do to God's people. But David says, the proud have forged a lie against me. David was a good man. He was a godly man. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He was trying to do the right thing and serve God and live for the Lord. And yet he said there that there's some proud folks out there, and they're forging lies. They're creating lies about me. They're spreading rumors about me that aren't true. Why? They're trying to discredit him. They're trying to ruin his testimony before the world. They're trying to give God a black eye through David. Now, David did give occasion for the heathen to blaspheme God because of his sin. But beyond that, the Bible said that God didn't have anything against him, because he was after a man after God's own heart. So if you are trying to serve the Lord, do right, Just mark it down. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And there's going to be some folks persecute you and lie about you because they're proud people who've never bent the knee to God and never bowed before Jesus Christ, never gotten saved. Not only that, but pride leads one to reject the words of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6:4, the Bible speaks there about the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there that those who reject those words and don't believe those words are proud, knowing nothing. So a person who rejects the words of Christ, the words of the Bible, are those who are proud, and the Bible says they know nothing. And some of those ignorant people in the world are people who claim to be experts on religion and the Bible who aren't saved. They got all kinds of crazy ideas and screwy thoughts about the Bible and stuff that just simply aren't true. They've got all these presuppositions that they've heard growing up and they picked up along the way, and they got all kinds of weird, wacky ideas about the Bible that just simply aren't true, and they reject the words of Christ out of hand without even reading them most of the time. And the Bible said they're proud, knowing nothing. Why wouldn't a person humble himself to read the Word of God, just read a little gospel tract once in a while? Because they're proud. They're too proud to admit that they're proud. They're too proud to admit that God might be right. And as a result, they don't know anything. Not only that, but pride hardens the mind against God. You read about Nebuchadnezzar back there in Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible said he hardened his mind against God because he was proud. And of course, God brought him down to where he realized what he was, and he got right with the God of heaven in the end. But before that happened, he got hardened in his mind because of his pride. Not only that, but pride deceives the heart. Obadiah chapter verse 3, the Bible said there, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee." Why are people deceived? Because of the pride of their heart. That's what it is. What's pride? It's an inordinate, extreme self-esteem. It's an unreasonable conceit about one's superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, elevation, or even intellect. Some people just simply think they're smarter than God, and they've been deceived by their own heart. Matter of fact, the Bible says of the heart, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And your heart will deceive you." If you don't submit yourself to the Word of God and bow your heart to Jesus Christ, you will be deceived, and you are deceived, and you'll continue to be deceived because of the pride of your heart. Not only that, but pride is relished by the imagination. Luke 1:51 tells us about those whose imagination was relished by pride. You take pride, I believe, in the imagination. It might be pictured by the wicked queen in Snow White, who stood before the mirror every day to admire her own beauty and said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" That was her. And it was her. She wanted to hear good things about herself. She relished in her imagination what she wasn't, and it was in her imagination. Some folks say to suffer a delusion of grandeur, amen? And some people really are, as the saying goes, legends in their own mind. They think that they're really something. As I said, so you think you're something, do you? Pride. That's the negative attitude. God resists proud folks. Not only that, but pride is also manifested in conversation, in the words that you speak, and the things that you say. The Bible said in Proverbs 14:3 that in the mouth of the wicked is a rod of pride. That is, they use their tongue like a rod just to beat people down with it because they're so proud. And that tongue will get you in trouble. And that tongue manifests the pride that's in the heart. I believe the Bible says in one place, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? So if you're deceived in heart, it'll manifest itself in conversation, the words you speak with that rod of pride in your mouth. Proverbs 27:1 says we're not to boast of tomorrow because we don't know what tomorrow brings. Amen. Proverbs 27:2 says we're not to brag about what we did yesterday because yesterday's gone. And the problem with many people is simply eye trouble. They talk about themselves all the time. You take any kind of a writing course, they tell you, don't use the personal pronoun I any more than you have to. As little as possible. And you start writing stuff down. I still to this day write stuff down. And as I'm writing things down, I'm thinking, what else can I say but I in this instance? How do you get rid of it? Well, there's a way of doing it. But you've got to get rid of that I problem. The middle letter and the central figure of sin and pride is I. And so you know what we have? We have I trouble. We got sin trouble. We got pride problems. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, said this. He said, there are many people who would not kill a mouse without publicizing it. Samson killed a lion, and he said nothing about it. Say much of what the Lord has done for you, say little of what you have done for the Lord, and do not speak a self-glorifying sentence. Man, if you can get that down, you are a humble Christian. Who of us is that humble? I don't know many, but there's some out there, but boy, it takes a lot of grace and Christian maturity to be that humble. Not that, but pride affects the countenance. I said it expresses itself through conversation. It also affects the countenance. That is your facial expression. Psalm 10 verse 4 talks about the countenance of the wicked. And several other places in the Bible speak about the countenance of the wicked. The countenance is your facial expression. The Bible speaks of a high look. The Bible speaks of a prideful look and a proud look. The Bible speaks of a haughty expression on the face. And so you can look at some people and just tell they're proud just by looking at them. You ever seen people like that? You look at them, you're looking at a proud individual. You look at some of these celebrities on TV that got all the money and all the fame and all the worldly glory and things like that. Some of them realize where they came from, and some of them are humble. But you look at some of them, and boy, they are so proud of what they've accomplished and where they've got to, and their money and their wealth and their good fortune in life and things like that. They get proud about those things, and it shows up on their face. I mean, they'll look at you like you're just nothing. And you know, there's Christians I've met that'll look at you like they'll look at you like they're looking right past you. They don't even know you exist, and they're looking right at you sometimes. Why? That's pride. They're proud of what they've accomplished. Pride affects the countenance of many people. Not only that, but pride defiles the one who's proud. Mark chapter 7, the Lord spoke about those things in the heart that defile a man. And one of those things he said that defiles a man is pride. It defiles a man. He said not the things that go into a man defile a man, but that which comes out of a man, which comes out of the heart, which is evil, the Bible, Christ said, defiles the person. And one of those things is pride. So pride defiles the one who is pride. It'll corrupt you. It'll pollute you. It will defile you. It'll dirty you. Not only that, but pride results in shame in the end. In the end, pride brings about shame and disgrace and reproach to you. You take Nebuchadnezzar. He was a man who was proud in heart. He was hardened in mind. And the Bible said about him that God let him go mad, let him go insane for a number of years before God ever restored his mind. You know what? God can take your mind from you. You harden your mind against God, God's liable to take it. There's many people out there right now that's in an insane asylum. You know why? Because they thought they were smarter than God. And they were proud of their intellect. And God said, you know what? I'll just take that from you. There's many people that's in an insane asylum today that thought they were smarter than God because of their pride. But it results in shame in the end. Heard one time a story about a frog who wanted to see the world. He wanted to get off the lily pad, get away from the farm, get out of the pond, and go see the world. And so he came up with this ingenious idea. And so he approached two birds that landed near him. And they said, how can we help you? And he said, well, I want to get off this lily pad. I want to get off the farm. I want to go see the world. And they said, well, what can we do for you? He said, well, you can take that stick over there. And you can put that between your two beaks and let me hang on with my mouth clamped down on it while you fly me to new destinations and new horizons. They said, that'll work. So they got they put the twig between them. The frog latched onto it, and he latched onto his mouth, and they're flying over the farm. And the farmer looks up and says, man, would you look at that frog? Whoever thought of that? And the frog said, I did. Amen. Got him in trouble in the end. You better watch out what you say. Don't take all the credit, even if you deserve it, amen? Be humble. It'll get you in trouble. It'll bring you down. It brought the frog down. Not only that, but pride causes strife, contentions, fighting, arguing, and bitter disagreements. One place in the Bible, in Proverbs 13:10, the Bible says this, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. You think about that. If you've got contention with somebody in your family, among your circle of friends, those you work with, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And when you boil it right down to it, the Bible's always right, amen?
And you can bank on what the Bible says, you can believe what it says, and you can believe if there's some contention going on, some fighting and some strife and some arguing and bitter disagreements, there's contention there because of pride. Somebody or both parties are too proud. Causes those things. By pride cometh contention. You look at the disciples, they disputed among themselves over there in the Gospels. And the disciples got out of sorts with each other because they were proud, wanting to know, who is it, Lord, that's going to sit on your right hand in the kingdom? And even their mothers got in on that, amen? And the Lord brought some children before them and said, you know what? The grace in the kingdom is a servant of all. The grace in the kingdom is like this little child here who's humble and not proud. But it brought about the contention and fight and arguing and disagreements and strife. Pride will do that. Not only that, but pride precedes defeat and ruin. It precedes defeat and ruin. Proverbs 16:18, one of the verses I'm sure you know, the Bible said, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So if you're headed for destruction, you can be assured that your pride will take you there. That's what's taking you there. If you're headed for destruction and you're headed for a fall in your Christian life, or even if you're not saved, I'll tell you what's going to cause it. Pride and a haughty spirit will bring about destruction in your life, even as a Christian. It'll bring about defeat. It'll bring about ruin in your life. Simon Peter got proud at one point, and he got defeated and almost ruined by it. Remember what he did? The Lord said to him, he said, you know, tonight you're going to deny me. And Peter said, nope, though all men forsake thee, I won't do it. Then the Bible said they all joined in and said, nope, none of us is going to do that. And before the night was over with, they all did except for John. He was the only one left. He's the only one that stood at the cross. Everybody else was gone. Peter fled. No doubt he was ashamed of himself. But he repented and he got right later on over it. But you know what? It could have destroyed him. Thank God for second chances, amen. That God gives you those things. But it could have defeated him. It could have ruined him for life. But thank God it didn't. But many a person it has ruined. Many a person it has defeated. Many a person it has destroyed because of their pride. Not only that, but pride places the proud person under the condemnation of the devil himself. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 3:6, talking about a young preacher, saying that those that are novices and given too much responsibility and authority too early in the ministry before they're mature enough to handle it, the Bible says about them that they can find themselves soon under the condemnation of the devil because they've been lifted up with pride, the Bible says. Pride will bring you into the condemnation of the devil. It'll lift you up and bring you right down. Not only that, but it also invites the judgment of God. You read there in about Pharaoh. He was a proud man who said, who is the Lord that I should, that I should know Him or obey Him? Why should I obey God? Why should I live by the Bible? Why should I have to put myself in subjection to a God I can't even see? And God said, you know what, I'm going to bring you down. And He did. He raised him up and brought him down. Nebuchadnezzar, we talked about him earlier, was proud. God brought him down. But then he raised him up again when he got right. Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, at one point there, God destroyed him and he literally died. A Christian can get to the place where God will judge him. The Bible says the Lord will judge His people. And if you're a proud individual, you're a proud and haughty Christian, God says, I'm going to bring you down. I'm going to judge you. So be careful of that thing called pride. Not only that, well, let me just read. Vance Havner was an old-time preacher. He's dead now. He wrote this. He wrote a lot of good things. And one thing he said was this. He said, this is probably written in the 60s, maybe the 70s. It's still applicable today. He said, we are a generation of proud, fussy little Christians, experts but not examples. We know too much, or we think we do. We've heard all the preachers and read all the books. It's hard these days to be converted and become like little children. We want to be thought of as philosophers and scholars, brilliant but not childlike. So we miss the secrets God has hidden from the wise and the prudent and revealed unto babes. How often, even among the saints, does some simple soul learn the deeper things of God and press through to heaven's best while the wise and prudent Christian utterly misses them? Hey, the proud misses out on the best God has for them. So don't find yourself in that position. I read a story about two ladies in Shanghai, China, and they were familiar with Hudson Taylor and the China Inland Mission, and they were wondering about Brother Taylor and if he was proud of his accomplishments, and they persuaded his wife to ask him that question, and
His wife asked Mr. Taylor, said, "Are you proud of what you've done?" And he said, "Proud about what?" She said, "Proud about what you've done." He said, "I didn't know I did anything." That's a humble man. And that's what we ought to be. That should be our attitude. That's like Spurgeon said earlier, never speak a self-glorifying sentence. Well, that's hard for us to do, isn't it? We want to brag about ourselves and what we've done. Amen? We do that. God said that's pride, and it'll get you in trouble. So the negative attitude is that of pride. God resists the proud. But secondly, there's the positive attitude. The second part of that verse, James 4:6, says, "But he giveth grace unto the humble." God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Don't you want some grace? We need some grace to get through life. We need some grace to get through the trials and tribulations that we find ourselves undergoing most of the time. We need the grace of God to get us through. You need the grace of God. I need the grace of God. And God says, "I resist the proud, but I tell you what, if you're humble, I'll give you some grace. I'll give you what you need to get through life if you'll just simply humble yourself before me." Now, what does the dictionary say about humility? The dictionary says this: it's freedom from pride, freedom from arrogance, it's lowliness of mind, it's a modest estimate of one's own worth, it's a deep sense of one's unworthiness before God. Now, the word humility comes from the word humus, which comes from the word ground or dirt. You know what we are? We're nothing but dust in God's sight. And we need God's help. You know what the opposite of humus is? It's hubris. You ever heard that word? That's extreme pride. Well, we need to have humility is what we need to have. And the positive attitude of humility is the one that God blesses, and He'll give you grace for every trial if you'll humble yourself before Him. So what does the dictionary say? We read that. What does the Bible say about humility? Let's see what it says. What does the Bible say about humility? Well, about humility, the Bible says this. That He says that humility is the way to salvation. It's the way to forgiveness of sins. It's a way to being right with God. You've got to humble yourself before God. Job 22 and verse 29, the Bible said this, that God shall save the humble person. You can't get saved without being humble. You can't get saved without humbling yourself before God. You've got to become as a little child, the Lord Jesus Christ said. You have to recognize and acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner in need of salvation. And you find there an illustration of that in Luke chapter 18. You read there about the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee was a proud religionist who just sprinkled his whole conversation with, I've given my money. I've gone to church. I've gone to synagogue. I've prayed. I've done this. I've gave my tithes. I've done all this stuff. God, aren't I great? So you think you're something, do you? God says about him, He said, that man went down to his house, but he wasn't justified. He walked out that door lost as he walked in that door. He wasn't saved. But then you had that old poor publican over there. He was a self-confessed sinner who came before God, realizing he needed God's mercy on him because he was a sinner. He didn't say, he didn't even say the word I, he said the word me. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't have to go into a long-winded prayer to try to impress God like the Pharisee did and walk away without impressing God, but he just said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible said he wouldn't even look up to heaven because he was so humbled before God. He knew what he was. Humility is the way to salvation. A proud man can't get saved. A proud woman can't get saved. A proud individual cannot be saved. Why? Because you got to humble yourself, because God saves the humble, not the proud, and He resists the proud, by the way. So it's the way to salvation. Now that humility is the way of service. It's the way of service. You read there in John chapter 13 about Christ and about how He washed the disciples' feet. And you take, it wasn't beneath the dignity of Jesus Christ to get down on His knees before some smelly old fishermen and take some water and a towel and wash their feet. And He went to Peter to wash his feet. And Peter said, Lord, don't be washing my feet. And the Lord said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you got no part with me. And then Simon Peter went overboard and said, well, then give me a whole bath. The Lord said, you only got to wash your feet, buddy. Okay? Listen up. You only got to wash your feet. That's what gets dirty as you walk your pilgrim pathway in this world. Amen? You got to keep your feet clean. So He humbled Himself and became a servant, the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2. Took upon Himself the form of a servant. Took upon Himself the form of a man. He humbled Himself as a man, even the death of the cross. And not only that, but He even just lowered Himself to serve the disciples there.
A young man by the name of Su Chu, that's a Chinese name by the way, was from a wealthy Chinese family. He went to be trained at a China Inland Mission hospital as a nurse. That's the mission that Hudson Taylor, we mentioned earlier, began back in the 1800s. He dressed immaculately and he carried himself with dignity because he was from a wealthy, high-class family. But he wanted to do something there to help out. One day he was asked to do a menial task, not something that had to do with being a nurse, but they wanted him to clean and shine some shoes. He refused and he said this, no. He said, no gentleman or scholar would do such lowly work. Well, the superintendent was told about it, and she came and talked to the young men, and then she cleaned and shined the shoes herself that he would not do. And she was the supervisor. She was the head of the hospital. Afterwards, he read John chapter 13 about Jesus Christ, and he said he got convicted and he repented of it, and he apologized for his proud spirit, and he became one of the best workers in the hospital. You know why? Because he had to reach the, he had to realize that even though he was from a wealthy family, a well-to-do bunch of folks, he was still a sinner in the sight of God, and he needed to be a servant and not be proud of his wealth and all those things. He had to humble himself. And you know what? God humbles us. John the Baptist said this. Jesus Christ paid him the greatest compliment in the New Testament. He said, there's not a man born among women. There's not a prophet born among women to this time in history greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the greatest prophet that ever walked the face of the earth. That's what Jesus Christ said about him. And John the Baptist said, he, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. You know why he was great? Because he was humble. That's one reason. He was a humble man. The Apostle Paul said about his service to Christ, he said to the Ephesians there in Acts chapter 20, he said, all I've been doing, he said, with tears night and day, knocking doors and visiting and preaching the Word of God, he said, I've been serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Paul was a humble man. Jesus Christ said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. Christ himself was lowly and meek and humble. Bible said he humbled himself. You know what you need to do? You need to humble yourself. We need to humble ourselves. Humility is the way to salvation. Humility is the way of service. And humility is the way to revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible said, if my people will humble themselves, he said, then I'll heal their land. You don't have a revival in your own heart? You've got to humble yourself. You want to have a revival in your church? You've got to humble yourself as a church. You want to have a revival in the church in general? The church has to humble itself before God and before one another. Humility is the way to revival. Not only that, it's the way to receive grace from God. James 4:6 again, God giveth grace unto the humble. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, wrote this. He said, he that is down need fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. In other words, he said, if you'll stay on your knees, you won't fall very far. If you'll stay humble before God, you're not going to fall a great deal. The humble, the mighty, they're going to fall, and great's going to be the fall of them. But if you stay low to the ground, you're not going to fall that much. It's like the guy, suppose you've heard the story about the guy who said, you know, would you be willing to jump out of a plane? And the guy was wise, and he said, depends on how the plane is. I mean, it might be sitting on the ground. Might be, you know, 3-foot jump. I can do that. The lower you are to the ground, the less problems you're going to have, amen? And the lower you are before God, the better you'll be. So, humble yourself before God. Humility is the way to gain wisdom. Proverbs 11:2 says, with the lowly, there's wisdom. You want wisdom? Be lowly and humble before God. Not only that, it's the way to honor. The Bible said several places in Proverbs that God will lift you up and exalt you. Bible said before honor is humility. You want to be honored by God? Before honor is humility. So it's grace before greatness in God's sight. You want to be great in God's sight? You're going to have some grace. You've got to humble yourself because before honor is humility. Humility is the way to gain honor and for God to lift you up and exalt you. Not only that, but humility rejoices when people praise and glorify God. You read in Psalm 34, verse 1, David said there, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So if you're humble before God, you're going to be glad to hear somebody praise the Lord, amen, and give testimony what God's done for them and what He's done for the world. And so when people praise the Lord, glorify God, they're going to rejoice in that if they're humble. If you hear somebody praise God, or that is, if somebody praises God and glorifies the Lord, and somebody doesn't rejoice over that, doesn't get a blessing over that, that person's got a proud spirit. Proud spirit. But those that are humble, they will rejoice in that when they hear that testimony, that Christian, and they talk about God and the goodness of God and the things of God. The humble is going to hear it and they're going to be glad. That's some things that humility will do for you. Now the conclusion is this. God has a humbling process that He puts us through. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 just for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Here is God's humbling process in our lives. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3. Notice what He says here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live, and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Now He's talking to the children of Israel. He tells them, He says, if you'll just keep all the commandments that I give you, and you'll observe to do them. He said, you know what? You're going to live. You're going to have a good life, a long life, a prosperous life, a blessed life, and you're going to multiply, and you're going to go in and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. That's the promised land. That's the land of victory. That's the land of the victorious Christian life for the Christian in the New Testament. He said, you do what I say, and I'll bless you. Look at verse 2. And He said, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. He said, you're going to remember when you're in the promised land, you're going to look back and you're going to see what I brought you through. You're going to look at your trials and tribulations. You're going to look at the wanderings in the wilderness back there on the Sinai Peninsula, how you wandered for 40 years. You're going to look back at that and you're going to see some things. And He said this, He said, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Now they were out of the will of God for almost 40 years. But God still led them, even though they were out of the will of God. He led them. He watched over them. He protected them. He judged them at times. But He did lead them as they followed Moses through the wilderness. And God will lead you as you follow Christ. And He said, you're going to look back, you're going to remember that God led you, that I led you. And He said, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, as He allowed you to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now notice what He says here in these two verses, verse 2 and 3. This is God's humbling process. You know what He did there? He humbled them. In verse 2, He said, I humbled you. That's why I led you through the wilderness like I did, to humble you. That's why I let you suffer lack of even food. He said, you didn't have the proper food sometimes. I've supplied you with manna, but He said, you didn't have all the luxuries of life. I've withheld the luxuries of life to humble you. We got folks now, you know what the problem with young people today is? It was when I was a young person too, and that is, you grow up in a house and mom and dad's got everything, took them 40 years to get it, and you think when you're 25, you ought to have all that stuff too. Next thing you know, you're in debt, your credit card's jacked up all as high as it can be, and you don't have pocket change. You know why? Because we're trying to get everything that our parents took years to get. God says, you know, I didn't give you a life of luxury in the wilderness. Why? Because I wanted to humble you. I want you to realize where you came from. So when you get where I want you to be, you're going to look back and say, you know what? God led me from there, from nothing, to where I am today. And you give God the glory. And the humble shall hear thereof, and they're going to be glad. Hear that testimony. But you know what? God, He said, I humbled. You know what He did? He empties us of our pride. God will empty you of your pride. Not only that, He'll expose your heart. He said, I did these things to humble you, to prove you, and to know what was in thine heart. He wants to expose your heart so you'll see what you are about. He wants you to see yourself for what you really are. And once you see yourself for what you really are, it will humble you. It may even depress you. Amen? But that just gets you back on your knees before God to realize that God had mercy on you and you've got a reason to rejoice because of His mercy. Amen? So He empties us of our pride in the process of humility. He also exposes our hearts in this humbling process, and then He educates us about true values. Verse 3, He said, I let you suffer all these things that you could learn that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to humble you. I am trying to let you see yourself for what you are, And I want you to learn to live by this book. That's what I want you to do. Live by this book and it'll work out. God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. One man said this, and we'll close. A.B. Simpson, an old Baptist preacher, said this. He said, humility will save you from self-consciousness. It will take away from the shadow.